You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The haunting call of the common loon. To some people, that is lakes in Michigan. Well, these beautiful calls are threatened here in our state. The common loon is considered threatened. Let's talk about why. As we welcome Joe Kaplan, he's a biologist and co-director of Common Coast Research and Conservation. Joe, I do think these haunting vocalizations is part of what makes everybody just say, oh, I love the loon. Is it fair to think of the loon kind of as the symbol of up north?
You know, you're right on the mark. There's a lot of people that, take its vocalization, see its the aesthetic of the loon, its black and white plumage is an icon of the North. And you are not alone in that regard.
Tell us more about the loon. I mean, describe more what it looks like and especially the life cycle and what its preferred habitat is.
Yeah, you bet. Well, it's a obligate water bird. So it spends its entire life on the water. And it's... topography is pretty much like the deciding factor there is its legs are set way back on its body. So it's incapable of actually walking on land. So that's one of the first things that sets it up for vulnerability when it comes into conflict with humans is it needs 28 days, nice quiet shoreline for incubating its eggs. Those are hard traits to find in a lot of Michigan where there's people. So that's another reason why it's considered sort of a indicator of wilderness values. Another thing about the loon is it's a relatively large bird. It has solid bones, unlike most birds, bones that are hollow. And that just prepares it for sort of a life completely on the water, except for that short time that it's nesting each season in early spring. It's a migratory bird, and that's primarily because all of its habitat, inland lakes, freeze over in the wintertime. So it spends actually most of its life on the ocean, returning to inland lakes in the north for breeding. So it's in many respects, it's like a seabird.
So how much risk is the loon in here in Michigan? What do the numbers tell us?
Well, it's hard to get handles on numbers because we have about 10,000 lakes in Michigan. But our estimates, doing this work for about 30 years, we would estimate there's probably about 800 pairs of loons on Michigan's 10,000 lakes, which sounds encouraging, though that really has to be viewed in what's happened to the loon over the last 100 years. 100 years ago, this was a bird that was common on early chroniclers of loons in Michigan indicated it was common on just about every inland lake. There was a breeding pair. So where I'm originally from, I live in the UP now, but I'm originally from Oakland County. There's about 400 lakes, and that was 400 loons pairs that basically disappeared between 1900 and 1953.
I'm hearing what you're saying.
Yeah, so they did a rapid decline and disappeared from the southern third of the state since they've been listed as a threatened species in 1987. Prompted by some low survey results of about 500 birds, it's held its own. And I think that's primarily because people, because they respect the loon, have taken measures for conservation, not just at the agency level, but most importantly, by people that live with loons where loons still occur on their inland lakes.
People care. What is avian botulism? Is that also a threat?
Oh, yeah. Avian botulism is something that first appeared or documented in the lakes in Lake Michigan 1960 to about 1982 was the last outbreak. And at that time, it wasn't really known what was causing it, but in hindsight, it likely was alewives, that small foraging fish that was introduced into the lake that had a really unfortunate life history attribute of dying in mass after they bred in the fall. And botulism... that bacterium, the Clostridium bacteria, can only exist where there's no oxygen. So oxygen has to be depleted. And that's exactly what happened up until 1980. And then in 1999, it began again. And it's unfortunately linked to invasive mussels. And then this round goby that eats the mussels and then moves up the food chain during migration into not just loons anymore, but grebes. White-winged scoters, long-tailed ducks, terns, things like that.
You know, what you're describing strikes me as a big ecological Jenga game.
Yeah, that's collapsed.
Yeah.
So we've had on Lake Michigan, we've had outbreaks since 2006. We had a major outbreak in 2007, then in 2009, 12. Mm. So we keep setting the blocks back up. But when it happens, you know, we lose thousands of water birds. Big proportion of those are loons.
So between a disease brought in by these invasive species and the fact that we love living around lakes.
Yeah.
But you made it very clear, people taking action has at least helped stabilize the loon population. So give us an idea, how can people who are listening to us talk right now, how can we better protect the common loon?
I would say three things. There's three things that our study of loons have you know, using them as a bioindicator. Certainly, getting away from any emissions of mercury. And we've done a very good job on everything except for coal-fired power plants. That's a source of environmental mercury. So it's taken out of the ground where it's sequestered, not interacting with life on the surface. And then it's put into the atmosphere as a consequence of burning it for energy. And then once it's deposited in the lakes, it becomes an organic form, which is highly toxic. So that's one, reducing as much mercury as we can as far as a release in the environment. Getting away from lead fishing tackle and being responsible with your monofilament, that's a leading cause of death in adult loons. You know, learning about their natural history and giving them that space during the 28 days that they're incubating. And then finally, making policies that prevent any more introductions of invasive species into the Great Lakes. It's been just a horrible, it's unintended, but the consequences are really staggering.
Joe, what do you like best about the loon?
You know, I have to say I like their dedication to their territories, to their chicks, and I like their longevity. We're going to grow old with loons we were growing old with loons until botulism, but we still, you know, I've been doing this work since 1990, and I'm studying a bird that's 32 years old this year, banded as a chick back in 1987. He's been paired with the same mate since he was 11, so they're over 20 years together. They've raised 34 chicks. Many of his and her offspring have returned to the refuge and around the UP to establish. So, yeah, they're dedicated to what they do. And, you know, I look forward to talking to you when we can talk about a 50-year-old loon at Saney. That'd be awesome.
Well, we would love to do that as well. Joe Kaplan, biologist and the co-director of Common Coast Research and Conservation. Thanks so much for spending time with us.
Oh, my pleasure. You're welcome. Have a great day.